of John 5, verse 43. Here's a terrible charge that our Lord brings against Adam's race. John 5, 43. He says, I am come in my Father's name, and you receive or believe me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will believe. Unbelief is no new thing. Unbelief is and always has been the nature of fallen man. When God called Moses to the burning bush, said to him, Moses, go down into Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. You tell Israel that I sent you to deliver them, to bring them out of bondage, to lead them to a land that I have promised to Abraham. And Moses cried, Lord, behold, they will not believe me. They won't believe me. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. But he preceded that good news with this, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our message? Paul, in writing of Israel in Hebrews 3:19, says, So you see, they could not enter in. Though God promised the land, though God provided the land, though God sent the servant to lead them to the land, they could not enter in because of unbelief. And then that sad commentary in John 7, verse 5, our Lord Jesus Christ, miraculously sent, miraculously conceived, miraculously born, perfect life, and yet the Scripture says, neither did his family believe on him. Neither did his brothers and his sisters believe on him. And then in John 16:9, our Lord said, the Holy Spirit, I go away, but I'll send another comforter. And when he has come, when the Holy Spirit has come, it'll be his business to convince this world of sin, because they believe not on me. And John 12:37 says, though he had done many miracles right before them, in their presence, yet they believe not on him. And at the cross of Calvary, Mark wrote in chapter 15, verse 32, they walked about that cross, and they looked up and laughed at him and mocked him, and shot out their lips, and they said, come down from the cross, and we'll believe on you. And Thomas, even his beloved disciple Thomas, after all of the prophecies and promises and witnesses, after 3.5 years side by side with the Master, even Thomas said, when the disciples declared unto him, the Lord hath risen, said, except I see the print of the nails in his hands and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. I will not believe. If you're not saying this in words, you say, Thomas, that's terrible. Thomas, of all people, Thomas, I will not believe. But wait a minute now, before we condemn Thomas, before we sit in judgment on this disciple, let's examine our own hearts. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe Christ? Do you believe his word? Perhaps you're not saying it in words like Thomas said it. Perhaps you're not speaking it out as he did. Perhaps you're not going on record, I will not believe. But maybe you're demonstrating the same unbelief in attitude. And I think perhaps our attitudes and our actions speak a whole lot louder than our words. I will not believe. I will not believe. I've come in my Father's name, and you believe me not. Let another come in his own name, and him you will believe. Verse 44, look at this line here. How can you believe? I think I can ring our bell this morning, mine and yours. I think I can ring our bells, and I can give you several reasons why you do not believe. Our Lord says, how can you believe? He gives the first reason. Listen to it. He says, how can you believe? And I'm not talking about just believing in Christ as the Redeemer, just believing that he died on the cross and was buried and rose again. I'm talking about believing God not only for the building of a building, but the building of a haystack. I'm not talking only about believing God for preaching, but believing God for praying and believing God for daily life. I'm talking about believing God as Moses believed God, as Abraham believed God, as Noah believed God, as Enoch believed God and walked with God, believing God. I will not believe. How can you? And our Lord gives the first reason. He said, here it is. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? A man will never believe in Christ till he knows himself to be nothing. A man will never receive the fullness of Christ until he's empty. A man will never receive the robe of Christ's righteousness till he's naked. When others praise us and honor us and exalt our talents and dwell on our good points and praise our righteousness, we're apt to believe them, aren't we? And when we seek and acknowledge their praise, we deny our sins. Charles Spurgeon said, you must be saved as an ungodly, empty sinner, or you'll not be saved at all. You must give up all claim of any merit, any righteousness, any goodness, any honor, or you'll not be saved at all. And this the flesh finds so difficult. Look at verse 23. That all men should honor the Son. He that honoreth not the Son. God Almighty has determined and decreed that he shall honor the Son. But men honor us, and both cannot be. I cannot be honored and Christ be honored. I cannot be praised and Christ be praised. I cannot be exalted and Christ be exalted. And as long as I'm seeking the approval of men, as long as I'm seeking the praise of men, as long as I'm seeking the honor of men, I'm not seeking that honor that comes from God only. You see what I say? How can you believe? You're good enough. Your mama told you so. You're good enough. Your wife told you so. You're good enough. Your children tell you so. You're good enough. Your neighbor brags on you. We seek the honor that comes from men and not the honor that comes from God. And that honor that comes from God is a Christ honor. He honors not us, he honors his Son. And a man will never believe in Christ and embrace Christ and receive Christ until God empties him, until God strips him, until God slays him. And a man will never be used for God's glory until God can get all the glory. How can you believe? You receive honor one of another, praise one of another. You seek not that honor that comes from God only. And then the second reason, why can't men believe? Secondly, they cannot believe because they do not feel that they need Christ. They do not need Christ. Mike, when you stand here to sing, do you need Christ? Pastor, when you stand here to preach, are you really empty? Are you really insufficient for these things? Are you really nothing? Do you really need Christ? My sinner friend, you talk about wanting to be saved. Do you really need Christ? Are you in such a condition that you cannot survive without Him? I was reading a book this week, and it told about a revival that swept the little southern community after the Civil War. People were being saved. People were hearing the gospel down in that land where judgment had fallen, where people were emptied and starving. Their loved ones had been killed. Poverty, famine. God sent a revival. And the former slave owner and his trusted slave were both under conviction. They'd been together many years. The old slave owner and his trusted slave both were under conviction. Both realized they needed salvation. But the old slave found peace before his master. He found Christ before the master. And the master wondered about this and came to him and said, John, why is it that you found peace with God? You found Christ and I haven't. This is what the old slave said. Massa, you see, when the Lord came to you, He said to you, here's a new robe for you. And Master looks at his coat with a few holes in it, but still mighty fine, and he says to the Lord, I don't really need a new robe. This your robe will do mighty fine. It just needs a little patching. It just needs a little care here and there. It just needs something added to it. Lord, I don't need a new robe. I just need this one fixed up. But Master, when the Lord came to old John, he says, John, I got a brand new robe for you, John. And old John says, Lord, I sure do thank you, because old John ain't nothing but rags. And I need that robe so bad. And Lord, I sure do thank you. And I'll take that robe and put it on right now. Do you need Christ, huh? Or your righteousness is filthy rags? Do you need His blood to put away your shame and your guilt and your sin? Do you need His righteousness to cover you? Or is it true of us? Rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing. I need Thee, Lord, I need Thee. Every hour I need Thee. Oh, bless me now. Now. I will not let Thee go except Thou bless me now, my Savior. Just as I am poor. Are you poor? Spiritually poor? Have nothing? Know nothing? Can do nothing? Wretched? Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Blind, sight, riches, healing of the mind. All I need in Christ to find. Lamb of God, I come. When you get to that place, you'll come. You'll come. The disciple said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. To whom shall I go with my sins? You got any? To whom shall I go with my sins and find forgiveness? Only to Christ, who said, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white like the snow. To whom shall I go with my darkness to find light? Only to Him who said, I'm the light of the world. To whom shall I go with my sorrow to find comfort? Only to Christ, who said, I'll never leave you. David said, though my mother and father forsake me, the Lord so take me up. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. When Walter and Betty went to the mission field, had inadequate support, had no doors on the house, no screens on the windows, no assurance of food tomorrow, though men forsook them, he never did he? He never did. I'll never leave you. To whom shall I go in my trial when the way is so dark, when the road is so rough, and the burden is so heavy? To whom shall I go? to my Lord Jesus Christ, who said, come to me and I'll give you rest. Who said, my peace I give unto you. It doesn't matter how cloudy it is, how dark it is. It doesn't matter how deep the flood is. It doesn't matter how rough the road is. I'll give you rest. My peace I give unto you. To whom shall I go for an example? I can put no confidence in your flesh or my flesh. Only to Christ, who said, I have given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. If you needed him, you'd believe on him. If you needed him, you'd believe on him. But men don't believe. They love the honor of men. They love the praise of men. They don't need that honor that cometh from God only. They don't come because they don't need him. And I'll tell you another reason why men don't believe. They don't believe because they don't approve of God's way of saving sinners. You look at John 5:40. Our Lord said, and you will not come to me. Oh, men will come to Mount Sinai. That's not hard to get people to Sinai's mountain of law. Oh, how natural men love rules. You say, do they? Yes, they do. They don't keep them, but they love them. Oh, how they love laws. No, they don't obey them, but they love them. Oh, how they love regulations. You know why? This allows them to glory in the flesh and to say, Lord, I thank you I'm not like other men. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not unjust. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not like this publican. I have so many good points. I thank you I'm not like other men. Take them to Mount Sinai. They'll go with you. Take them to the mountain of law. They love it because it allows them to glory in the flesh. Give them some things to do. Men will go to the baptismal font. They love that. They'll go to the pool. They'll go to the river. This gives them something to experience, something to feel, some act to follow. Men will engage in good works and religious activities. This will allow them to plead at the judgment. Lord, I preached in your name. I cast out devils. I did many wonderful works. They'll come to the altar. They'll come to the preacher. They'll come to the prayer room. They'll come to the inquiry room. They'll come to the front of the church. They'll come anywhere but to Christ. You will not come to me. They object to God's way of saving men. But Christ said, come to me that you might have life. The way to be saved is to come to Christ, to a living Lord in whom dwelleth the fullness of God. He is the Redeemer by divine decree. He is the Redeemer by perfect obedience. He is the Redeemer by substitutionary death. He is the Redeemer by eternal intercession. Salvation is not in priests, churches, creeds, laws, doctrines. Salvation's in Christ. It's in the Savior. How can you believe? You who object to God's way of saving sinners, how can you believe? You who are willing to come to Sinai's mountain of law, to religious ceremonies and ordinances. Yea, they'll even come to his mother, but they won't come to him. They'll come to his ambassadors, but not to him. They'll come to his means, but not to him. They'll even come to his word, but not to him. Out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness and light, Jesus, I come to thee. To thee. Out of my sickness into thy health, out of my want into thy wealth, out of my sin into what? Thyself. Jesus, I come. You know, you read the scriptures and you miss so much unless the Holy Spirit of God is pleased to slow you down and cause you to concentrate on words. The scripture says he came unto his own
and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Not his word, him. Not his doctrine, him. And listen, not his finished work, him. Now there's a difference. I hear people say, well, I'm just trusting the finished work of Christ. Hold it now. Hold it. Are you really trusting the work or him who did the work, huh? I hear people, we get in these cliches, and really, I think these cliches are really what we believe. I think out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks as a man is. As a man speaks and as he expresses himself, that's what's going on within. And I hear people say, I believe in prayer. But now you stop and think about that a minute. Do you believe in the act of prayer? Or do you believe in him who hears prayer? Now think about that a moment. Prayer, is that some kind of magic? Is that some kind of superstition? Is that like carrying a rabbit's foot or nailing up a horseshoe? Do you believe in prayer? Or do you believe in the him who sits on the throne of grace and invites you, his child, to come into his presence and make your needs known? Come on now. I'm trusting in the finished work of Christ. Well, I don't want to frighten you and don't want to upset you, but I'm not. I'm trusting in Christ who did the work. In a person. You come to me. Not to my cross, to me. Paul said, God who separated me from my mother's womb was pleased to reveal his son in me. His son in me. When Christ comes in to dwell, he brings himself. He brings his love. He brings his grace. He brings his attributes. And he makes us like himself. Salvation is not a union with a denomination or union with a cause or union with a law or union with a doctrine. It's a vital, living union with a person. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. This is what I'm trying to say. People say, well, I'm going to heaven. I believe Christ died on the cross. Satan and all the demons of hell. And if you could go to the cemetery and resurrect that centurion who drove the nails in his hands and the people who walked about that cross, they would join with you and say, we believe he died on the cross too. You say, but I believe he was buried and rose again. Wait a minute. If you could resurrect all the Pharisees who met in that council that day when one of the guards came and said, that fellow you all buried, Jesus Christ, he has risen from the grave. And they said, well, now don't tell anybody. I tell you what we'll do. We'll tell the governor that his disciples came and stole his body away, and here, we give you money. You keep your mouth shut, and we'll give these folks money, and you don't let it out. They knew it. They knew it. The demons know. You believe in one God, you do well. The devil believes and trembles. But this thing of being redeemed, this thing of being saved, is more than just believing in a work, believing in an act, giving mental assent to a fact. It is receiving a person, bowing to him, receiving him in your life and in your heart. Christ coming in to dwell, Christ becoming your master, your Lord, your King, your companion, your husband, your brother, your mother, your father, your life. Christ is my life. That's God's way of saving sinners. Now I can stand down here and folks can come down now and say, I believe what you preach. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. But this thing of salvation takes place in the heart when God himself comes in to dwell. And Christ becomes more than a doctrine. He becomes a person. He becomes more than an historical character. He becomes your Lord. Now, his fourth reason. Number one, he said, how can you believe? How can you believe? You're not seeking God's honor. You're seeking the honor that comes from people. How can you believe? You don't need Christ. You don't really need him, do you? I think the greatest thing in the world God could do for us is to absolute take everything and everybody we got away from us. Everything. Strip us. Hang us over the jaws of hell till we cry for mercy like Peter who sank beneath the waves. We don't need him. Thirdly, how can you believe? You object to the way God saves sinners. You make it a form and not a person. You make it a ceremony and not Christ. You make it a ritual and not a regeneration. You make it Sunday morning religion. You go to church and you play church and you act pious on Sunday. On Monday, it's a different story. Like Brother Barnard used to say. On Sunday, we say, my Lord, what a morning. On Monday morning, we wake up, my Lord, it's morning. And then fourthly, we don't believe. Men don't believe because they don't want to. That's exactly right. They don't want to. Now, you listen to this scripture. In John 5, verse 40, you will not come to me. You what? You will not. You will not. What is this coming to Christ? Well, it's not a physical coming. It's not physical inability that keeps me from Christ. If coming to Christ is just moving the body, we hear these Hollywood evangelists, high-pressure preachers, come down the aisle. Come on. Get up from where you are. Move into the aisle. That's it. Move into the aisle. That's no problem. I can move into any aisle. As long as God lets me walk, I can move into the aisle as well as I can move into the streets. That's no problem. Moving my body and my feet. If that's all that's required to come to Christ, that's no problem. And I'll tell you this, it's not a mental inability either. When our Lord said, no man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him, he did not mean it was a mental inability. I can believe the Bible as well as I can believe any other book. I can listen to all the judgments in this book. I can go through it. I can listen to all the promises in this book, and I can make up my own mind what I think about them. That's right. That's not my problem. That's not the problem of Adam's race. It's not a physical inability. It's not a mental inability. The preacher can stand up and give his arguments. The Church of Christ can give his. The Catholic can give his. The Baptist can give his. The Presbyterian can give his. The Methodist give his. The Nazarene give his. The Mormons give his, and people listen to them and logically can make up their mind which one of them sounds right. But coming to Christ, you know where the inability lies? Not in my physical strength, not in my mental strength. The inability lies deep in the nature of fallen man. Listen to the Word of God. Through the fall of man, through the sin of man, the nature of man has become so depraved, so debased, so corrupt, that he what? He loves darkness rather than light. That's right. Don't deny it. We love darkness rather than light. We love ourselves and not others. We love sin and not holiness. That's right. It's in the nature of man. Here's a sheep. Here's a wolf. The sheep hears the voice of the shepherd, doesn't he? And he delights in it. And he just comes a-running. The wolf He too hears the voice of the shepherd. But he doesn't delight in it, and he doesn't come running. He flees. He fears the voice of that shepherd. Here's the sheep. The sheep sees the shepherd. And he sees in the shepherd a friend. He sees in the shepherd a beloved leader. He sees in the shepherd one in whom he delights. And he loves the shepherd. The wolf, he sees the shepherd too. But he sees in the shepherd an enemy. He sees in the shepherd one to fear. And he growls at him. They both hear the same thing. They both see the same thing. What's different? Nature. You see what I'm saying? Nature. The sheep is led into green pastures. The Word of God. He feeds on it. He delights in it. He revels in it. He eats. The wolf is led into the same pasture. He doesn't care for the grass. It's not his nature to eat the grass. And he hates it. He eats the sheep. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying this. This is the reason why Christ said, you must be born again. Because your nature is depraved. Your nature is corrupt. Your nature is debased. And the reason men do not come to Christ, truly, they wouldn't mind having heaven. That's a good deal. They wouldn't mind missing hell. Who wants to go to hell? They wouldn't mind having their bodies healed. Who wants to be sick? They wouldn't mind getting a good job and being blessed of God. Who wants to do without? But their natures and their hearts don't love Christ. Delight in His Word. In His fellowship, in His people. That's the nature. Who maketh you to differ? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Thou people shall be willing to embrace Christ, willing to surrender to Christ, willing to receive Christ in the day of thy power. God has to do something for us. In order to take from me that love for darkness and hatred for light and make me love light and hate darkness, God has to give me a new nature. In order to take from me that hatred for others and love for myself and give me a love for others and an ability to say I abhor myself, God has to give me a new nature. In order to give me a nature that hates the world and loves the house of God and hates that which is enmity against God and loves that which speaks of God and represents God and honors God, He's got to give me a new nature. If God took an unregenerate man to heaven, he'd be miserable. I've heard people say, well, when I get to heaven, I love the preaching of the Word. If you don't love it here, you wouldn't love it there. There are five things that are true of all men who come to Christ. I'll give you this in close. Our time is gone. Turn to Psalms 51. Psalms 51. There are five things that are true of all men who come to Christ. Let us all together in our hearts pray, cry unto God. You know, He said, seek the Lord. Ye shall find me when you search for me with all your heart. Ain't nobody keeping you out of the prayer closet but yourself. You ask and you'll receive. You seek and you'll find. You knock and it'll be open to you. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they'll be filled. Ain't nobody keeping you from Christ but yourself. You could go right this day into the closet of prayer and you could say, O Lord God,
Show me myself. I don't want to hear what mama says about me and what my neighbor says about me. I don't want to hear what the preacher says. I want to hear what you say about me. Show me myself. Reveal my sin. Reveal my corruption. Bring me to the place where I see myself in the holiness of thy law and of thy spirit. Strip me.
It won't be a pleasant experience. It won't be a pleasant experience. And Lord, I cry unto you, show me my need of Christ. Show me the vanity of this world like you showed it to Solomon, who tried all of it and came to the end and said, vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. Lord, wean me from the world. Show me my need of Christ. And, oh, Lord God, show me the way of salvation that gives all the glory to you and robs man of all the glory. Show me the way of life. Break me from tradition that has such a binding influence upon me. Break me from custom. Just destroy all that I've ever known before and teach me all over again. Show me how you save sinners through Christ and his substitutionary work. And, O Lord, give me a nature to seek thee, and seeking thee to find thee, and finding thee to love thee, and loving thee to serve thee. I want to walk with the King. And there are five things that have happened to all these people. First of all, they have a sense of sin against God. They justify God rather than themselves. In Psalm 51, David said, verse 3, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Let me tell you something. In the sight of God Almighty, there's not a greater sinner ever lived than you, Frank. Not a greater sinner that ever lived than you, Ed. And not a greater sinner that ever lived than you, Ava. You believe that? Well, now, preacher, Hold on. Are you nothing? Well, you can't be less than nothing. You got it. If you're nothing, you're nothing. David said, Lord, what you say is so. What you say is so. You're justified. I'm going to stop justifying myself. I'm going to stop saying, but Lord, but Lord, but Lord. Yes, Lord. That's true. Dog? That's true. Unworthy? That's true too. Chief of sinners? That's true too. And then verse 7, they have a strong desire to be forgiven. David cried, oh, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I can't do it myself. You've got to wash me. Oh, Lord, make me to hear joy and gladness. Mend these bones which thou hast broken. Hide not thy face from my, sin. Lord, blot out my transgressions, my iniquity. Create in me a clean what? Heart. It's heart work. And renew a right spirit. A spirit. This is where we're missing it. Religion's all tuned to the outward flesh. That's right. Today's religion is flesh religion. God's salvation is heart work. Heart work. God is nigh unto them of a broken heart. He saveth such as be of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The third thing, they recognize Christ as the only Savior. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But the fourth thing, true of every person whom God saves, they have a sense of sin against God. They have a strong desire to be forgiven, to know him, to know him. They know that Christ is the only Savior. Fourthly, they have made and are making a personal commitment to Christ. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he is able, he's the only one that is, to keep that which I've committed to him. Committed to him against that day. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father which is in heaven. Here's what I'm saying, my friend. If this gospel's true, and it is, if Christ is the only Savior, and he is, if he's willing to save you, and he is, you must trust him. You must receive him. You must consciously commit yourself to him. And I don't care where you do it. If you want to do it here, fine. If you want to do it in my study, fine. If you want to do it at home, fine. If you want to do it going down the highway in your automobile, that's fine with me. But somewhere, at some time, you've got to come to Christ consciously, intelligently, lovingly, and willingly for a wholesale commitment to him. That's right. And you'll confess him in believer's baptism. You'll come before the church and you'll say, I've died with Christ. I've risen with Christ. I want the world to know I'm not perfect. I'm going to be. I'm not without fault. I will be someday. I see through a glass dimly. I know not as I am known, but I do know this. I know whom I have believed, and I've committed it to him. Now, Lord, take me like I am, just like I am, and make something out of me. Our Father in heaven, thank thee for thy word. And thank thee for thy spirit. Thou hast spoken to us, to every one of us. Thou hast spoken to this preacher, and thou hast spoken to this congregation. Lord, let us not find ourselves wrapped up in the bed of presumption, which we'll find someday is too narrow and the cover too short. Let us not hide in the refuge of presumption. Let us all cast ourselves upon Christ, commit ourselves to Christ, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us face what we are and who we are and justify thee when thou speakest and declare that thou art clear when thou judgest. But, O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Christ's sake. In his name I pray, amen.